Words can't describe your loveliness. You are glorious beyond all your ways. You make my life so beautiful. Oh, awesome God.
welcome everybody here and in the internet. Thank you for listening, and I just pray that God touches you tonight with the word that the pastor has for recording. The pastor is not here. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, that you are so awesome. Thank you, Father, that you have shown your love through Jesus Christ when he came on earth 2,000 years ago, and that we can be healed today of all issues. Thank you, Father, for this place and for the service that we're going to have tonight. And I pray that everybody receives what they need to receive, all in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I'm going to be reading to you quite a few passages of scripture. I do that deliberately. I can preach the word of God, but I do understand this, that when you hear good preaching, you're excited about good preaching, but you do not have full information. So it is important to teach. This is one of the primary giftings that we need in the body of Christ, teachers. My life was impacted by a teacher. And I do believe that when we come to a place of understanding, that we are not easily deceived. I didn't say we cannot be deceived. I said we are not easily deceived. The goal is not to be deceived. And to escape deception, we've got to do one primary thing. We've got to guard diligently our hearts. The Word of God says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, if you may, come with me there to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, I'm going to take it from verse 20. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. The Word of God says here, my son, attend to my words. Pay attention to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Pay attention. Lean to my sayings. Let them, meaning my words and my sins, let them not depart from thine eyes. Don't let my word depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. This is the word of God. It says, keep my words in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life unto them, those that find them, those that find my words. Incline their ears to my sayings. My words become life to them and health to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. My words give you life. My word give you health. So the Word of God is the greatest source for your immunity, spiritually, physically, and otherwise. The Word of God. It is something that you and I need to embrace more than anything else. If your house were in flames, the one thing that you need to get out of that house is not your checkbook, if you had a choice. It's not your pictures. Get your Bible. Get the Word of God. Because with the Word of God, you get most everything back. You can build new memories. Get the Word of God. It is the most important thing in your life. The Word of God. For they are life unto those that find them. Find my words, find my sayings, and health to all their flesh. It goes on. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Be diligent in keeping your heart. How do you keep your heart? It's been talking about the Word of God. This is how you keep your heart stable, together. For out of it, out of your heart, are the issues of life. Take note of that. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word, the issues of life, is talking about, it's a Hebrew word that talks about boundaries. The Word of God helps you establish boundaries. As the Word of God helps you to establish your outgoings, the things that you accomplish in life. He says, so keep your heart. Because out of your heart, kept by the Word of God, filled with the Word of God, the issues of life are established. Now, what are these issues of life? Just think about the word issue for a moment. And the meaning of the matter, the real essence of life. Good, bad, or ugly. Is established from here. If your heart is filled with fear, then you are going to attract fear, because fear is a mega magnet. Fear attracts problems, issues. If you have faith, then your outgoings are going to be proclamations of faith. And you're going to speak life into your life rather than death. You don't come into agreement with your circumstance. You come into agreement with a God who changes circumstances and speaks life and strength into a situation. When you're faced with problems, when you're faced with circumstances, what is it that's coming out of your mouth? If you have a headache, or maybe today, you know, somebody coughs. It's no longer just an ordinary cough. Somebody sneezes. It's no longer just an ordinary sneeze. Somebody has a runny nose. It's no longer just ordinary anymore. Everything is, you got it, COVID. Are you coughing and all you can think about is COVID? I'm going to die now. What have you fed yourself? Because you see, your thoughts are not determined by you just thinking something. It's determined by what you have filled yourself with. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Is that not true? Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to say something. That's where the issues of life come forth. The abundance of that which you filled yourself with. And hopefully you filled yourself with the Word of God. You've treasured the Word of God. You've embraced the Word of God. You've capitalized on the Word of God and not on the circumstances around you and what everybody else is saying. What do you believe? What is happening in the core of your person, your heart? The Word of God says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. That is the issues of his heart. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. That's the issues of life. Whether you've kept it diligently by the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, paying attention to the Word of God, embracing the Word of God, whether you've done that or not. And if you've not, then what you are treasuring is going to be the fruit that's going to come out of your life. For that fruit comes out of the abundance of the heart. Your mouth speaking. What are you prophesying about yourself? So the Word of God says, put away from thee a froward mouth, a proud mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee, from heart to speech. How are you going to put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips? By diligently embracing the Word of God. That's one way. Then it tells us, secondly, let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Don't have a wavering, floundering eyes looking everywhere. Be focused. What are you looking at? The author and the finish of your faith. What are you looking at? The Word of God. That's what you're looking at. Ponder the path of thy feet. And let all thy ways be established. How? You're believing in God, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. How are you going to believe God? You're going to believe God because you are believing His Word. You're filling yourself with the Word of God. What is the primary source of information that you have? CNN, Fox News, CBC, ABC, NBC, MNNBC, whatever, BBC. What? Somebody's research? Is that the center of your world? Well, whatever it is that you believe in, is what you're looking at, and it's affecting how you are living your life. God says, watch your steps. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Is the Word of God determining the steps that you take? The Word of God says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. How are they ordered? They're ordered by the Word of God. What role is the Word of God taking in your life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. That's why he says, incline your ears to my sayings. You're a believer, you're a Christian, but you don't know the Word of God. You don't spend time with the Word of God. And that goes for everybody. For the preacher, the teacher, the Christian sitting in the pew, every one of us. There's nobody removed from this. If you don't continue in the Word of God, you cannot be His disciple. And you will not know the truth. John 8. And the truth that you don't know is the truth that cannot set you free. It is the truth that you know that sets you free, that keeps you free, that makes you free. Before you make the decisions you make in your life, do you consult with the Word of God and find out first, what does the Word of God say? What does it say? Do I know what the Word of God says about this matter? Because it's not about what society says. No, they are tossed to and fro. One day it is this and the other day is that. One day is that and that's that. And you keep on with the world and you will have, oh my goodness, seasickness. Because you've been tossed every which way. And the only one thing that can keep you stabilized is the Word of God. The Word of God that never changes, because God never changes. God is forever the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And His Word is true and it's consistent. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Don't go this way and then go this way. It says, remove yourself from evil. Now, what was it? Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. What does that mean? Evil is you turning this way and turning that way. Stay focused. On what? The Word of God. Why is that important? What a question. Because without the Word of God, you are going to grow your own idols. You're going to make your own idols, grow your own idols, establish your own idols. And guess what? That does not mean that you're not going to be a Christian anymore, but now you're going to be a deceived Christian. Because based on the idols of your heart, you are going to hear voices. If you don't want to have the wrong voice in your head, get rid of idols. Because even God says, if you come talking to me, asking me questions when you've got idols in your heart, I will answer you by the idols that are in your heart and destroy you. Because you don't have a right to the covenant. Remember what we read in Psalms? Who gave you the right to take on my covenant? Now, that was in relationship to giving, making sacrifices. But those sacrifices were based on the Word of God. And God says, but if you've got idols, you don't have a right to my covenant. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse 5. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." You love God with all of it, not part of it, all of it. He says, "And these words which I commanded this day shall be in thine heart." That's the key to loving God. The key to loving God is God's word inside of you. In Matthew chapter 23, the Lord reemphasizes this particular point in Matthew 23 and verse 38. He says to us, Matthew 23:38. I got my verse mixed up, but that's a perfect verse. In this particular verse, the word of God says, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." That's exactly what happens when the word of God is not present in and fulfilled in your life. When your pursuit is not the word of God, when you are not being groomed by the word of God, your house, your life will be left to you as a desolate place. The word of God is of utmost importance in our lives. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14 and verse 3, we read these words. Certain group of elders had come to Ezekiel to inquire of God. And God's response to them was this: "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart." They set up idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face, not the word of God. The stumbling block of their iniquity, the stumbling block of their natural experiences, of the patterns that they've come across in life. You know, we make decisions based on not the word of God, but based on this has been our experience. So rather than believing God for healing and deliverance, and recognizing that cancer, diabetes, whatever disease cannot take us out, we come with the stumbling block of our experiences. Oh, so-and-so died, and so-and-so died, and so-and-so died. And that becomes the stumbling block, not the word of God. "By his stripes ye were healed." So we come to God with the stumbling block of iniquities, the stumbling block of poverty, the stumbling block of defeat. He says, "Should I be inquired of at all by them, these people?" No. They don't have the right. Verse 4. "Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols." Based on your idols, I'm going to answer you based on the idols that you've got in your heart. You're coming to me and asking me about this cancer and that. I'm going to tell you, you're going to die. Based on the idols of your heart. That's what you've been carrying. Don't expect anything else. Because you have not embraced the word of God. We want a different answer, but we don't have a connection, no connectivity with God. And God says, you want an answer? I tell you exactly what you want to hear. And so many people pray about different things. And say, I heard from God. I had a dream. I had a vision. I had blah, 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 blah. But what were you thinking about? What were you dwelling on before you started praying? What have you been holding on? What has been priority in your life before you start praying? So be very careful when you say God said something. If the foundation of your heart is not the Word of God, you're going to hear all kinds of voices. And you're going to say, well, but I heard from God. How come I have so much problems? Well, because you heard from the idols of your heart. It's not that you didn't hear from God. You heard from God. And God already told you, I'm going to speak to you based on the idols of your heart. So guess what? Get rid of the idols of the heart and have the Word of God primary there so that you can be certain at all times that you heard from God. Verse 5. Why is God going to speak to them that way? He says that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. They've been estranged from me through their idols. Listen. The Old Testament is not passé. The Old Testament teaches us a lot of things and gives us principles so that we can live out the New Testament life. These are not just there just to be there. There's a reason behind it. Verse 6. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, remember what we read in Matthew 23:38 about the house being desolate. Now, this is a connection. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus said the Lord God, repent. That's a key word. Repent. And that's a word that the Lord has been speaking to us about again and again during this last few meetings. It's part of the reset. Repent and turn yourselves from your idols. This is a chance. Repent and turn from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Turn. Turn away from them. You may ask, how are we going to do that? We're going to get there. We're going to get there. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger, the sojourner in Israel, which separated himself from me. That's the key word. Separated himself from me and set up his idols. Because you are either separating yourself from God and his word, and by so doing, separating yourself to idols, setting up idols. He says, and put at the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comet has the audacity to come to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. Wow. What are you going to do? I will set my face against that man. What? No, that's what God said. He says, I'm going to set my face against that man who thinks they can play footsie-wootsie with me and not be serious with the relationship that they have to have with me. Want to be deceptive. He says, I'm going to set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb. Oh, that's not good. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Why is this important? Why is God saying, I will cut him off? Because a person who holds idols in his heart is the greatest destiny blocker. And tonight, it's a message that is very hard for me to preach. I will confess that. Because God goes nuclear. David goes nuclear. This is not something that, you know, the message I'm going to be preaching tonight is not something to fool around with. But God is already hinting it here. He said, I'm going to cut him off from the midst of my people. A person who doesn't take my word right and has built up, raised up, set up idols in his heart and is coming to come talk to me. How dare you? Repent, then come talk. Because the key factor is this, that everyone knows that I am the Lord. And the message I'm going to be preaching tonight have that as the one key banner point for people to know that I am the Lord. Verse 9. And if the prophet that this guy comes to be deceived, when he had spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. Huh? Excuse me. God says, I deceived him. Why? And I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. Why? Because that prophet has also had idols in his heart. And the idol of his heart may be materialism. Let me tell them what they need to hear so that they give me some money. Give me this. Attend my church. I have good numbers. Whatever. I better, you know, not preach hard. Don't do that. Because if you say the truth, people are going to be upset. They won't come to church. And God says, that's the idol in your heart? Tell you what, I'm going to cut you off. You too, you're gone. Because you have that in your heart, I'm going to deceive you. And you're going to think that you are saying the truth, but the truth that you think that you're saying is all lies. And you're going out too. Because I got to save the destiny of my people. If that prophet be deceived when he had spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. Both cut out, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. That's why we need to diligently protect our hearts. There's a striking statement found in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 11. This indictment is on a man, supposedly, was the wisest of all men. I've always been intrigued about the life of Solomon. God says he's the wisest of all men. How did a wise man like Solomon get deceived? How is it that he messed up royally the way he'd messed up? For a wise man, I've pondered that thought for decades. And the only thing I can come up with, and I believe it's the Lord, is that God gives us, when God said he was the wisest man, that is a grace that was given to him. But that's a grace that he did not capitalize on. That's a grace that he did not follow through with. And so the Bible tells us one of the things that God says to Israel is that they should not marry foreign women. That was the law that he put there. It wasn't that God was racist. No, God wasn't racist, and God has never been racist. God is a God of all races. But God knew where those other kingdoms were coming from, that they had idols. They had gods, other gods that they worshipped. And so he warned them, don't be part with them. Don't let the rod of the ungodly, the scepter of the ungodly, rest upon the lot of the righteous. This Bible says, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Strange women. He loved them. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. He loved them. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn your hearts after their gods. For surely they will turn. For surely they will turn. For surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Did Solomon, the wisest man, believe what God said? Did he believe what God said so clearly? No. I'm the exception. I'm wise. I'm grace with wisdom. Hallelujah. I got grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I will outsmart them. Outsmart what? God said, flee fornication. He says, flee. You are anointed, but flee it. You see that something is going to be an Achilles heel in your life? Flee from it. Run. Don't fool around with it. You're going against the word of God. God already said, surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. He said, surely. That's a matter of fact, Solomon. But what did Solomon do? Solomon clave unto these in love. He clave to them in love. Wow. And he had 700 wives. That's a lot of strange women, mister. Princesses. He already had honor. He already had all this grace upon his life. He had all these women, princesses, and 300 concubines. Wow, that's 1,000 women. 1,000 portion. Wow. Mister, you must be reinterpreting Deuteronomy 1:11. And his wives turned away his heart. His wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass. It didn't happen immediately. No. He was still doing okay. And that's why I'm faithful. Praise the Lord. I married one and didn't mess up. And 2, 3, 4, and 1,000. I'm still okay. But the Bible says, for it came to pass when Solomon was old. Not when he was young. No. When he was old, that his wives turned away his heart. after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. He didn't stop loving God, but his heart was no longer perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. What was the key thing here? The Bible says, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. He went after all these gods. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully, after the Lord as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Now these are demonic forces. He did not keep his heart diligently. And began to erect temples for all these gods. Verse 8. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Don't think that you're going to change them. They're going to change you. So stay on your lane. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. God appeared unto him twice. God appeared unto him twice. Who can lay claim to that? God appeared to him twice and spoke to him about this issue. That's grace. And had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. God spoke to him. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Did not keep it. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, thou hast not kept my covenant. The word of God is his covenant. And my statutes which I commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee. I'm going to take the kingdom from you and will give it to thy servant. Someone that is not in your class. Somebody that is a nobody. I'm going to give the kingdom to them. How hard can that be? Just to let go of the idols of your heart. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning or whenever it is that you're listening. What profit is it that you think you gain in the world and you lose your soul?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're grateful for that message. We thank you for Apostle Mike and Pastor Maria Ficino for always bringing the word exactly. Lord, thank you for your grace to keep my heart with all diligence. Thank you, Father, for a hunger for your word. Thank you, Father, that I will meditate on your word and I will continue to keep my heart with diligence, all diligence. Thank you that you are my helper. In Jesus' name. And I just encourage everyone to bring their tithes and offerings. And I encourage those, just if this is an area that maybe you struggle in, to trust God. Just stretch your faith in this area. It's worth it to stretch your faith in this area. God will keep you. I know that for a fact for myself. We've heard many stories from Apostle, and God has kept me. And there's just, if anything arises, I just know that he makes any issues just painless, and that he brings the help that I need, and brings whatever I need, and that he just supplies everything according to his riches and glory. So I encourage you, if you are not giving your tithes, if you're not giving offerings, that is a place that you should completely close the door to the enemy and completely open the door for God to just reveal himself in that area. So I just encourage you to do it now. And then I'm going to close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, for your truth, God. Thank you that it is spirit and life. God, we receive your word. And we just ask, Lord, that as we seek your face this week, as we seek your word, that you would reveal yourself to us through it, God. That you would give us new wisdom, new understanding, new revelation, Father God. We ask that you do the same for our pastors. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives, in this house, in your church. And we just say, your kingdom come, your will be done, Father God. Help us, Lord, to take your word seriously, Father God. Lord, you hold it above all your name. May we just completely believe you in all things, believe all of your word. Thank you, Lord. Just reveal your word to us. Reveal yourself through your word. Thank you for a newfound hunger, God. God, like never before, your church hungers for your word, hungers for your presence. Thank you, Father God, that you are good and you will do it. We just bless your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.